Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I want to welcome you all this morning to our worship, and we'll follow along as it's printed in the service folder. We'll begin with the hymn, Come Holy Ghost, Creator Blessed.
Your place of rest, come with your grace and heavenly aid, and fill the hearts which you have made. To you, the counselor, we cry, to you, the gift of God most high, the fount of life, the fire of love, the soul's anointing from above. In you with graces sevenfold, we God's almighty hand behold, while you with tongues of fire proclaim to all the world his holy name. Your light to every thought impart, and shed your love in every heart. The weakness of our mortal state, with deathless might invigorate. Drive far away your wily foe, and your abiding peace bestow. With you as our protecting guide, no evil can with us abide. Teach us to know the Father's Son, and you from both as three in one, that we your name may ever bless, and in our lives the truth confess. Praise we the Father and the Son, and Holy Spirit with them one, and may the Son on us bestow the gifts from the Spirit flow.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, Alleluia. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Alleluia.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Teach me your way, O Lord. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries.
For false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, Alleluia. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Alleluia. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Our rich is wisdom and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory are His. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of creation. Blessing, honor, glory, and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. For the Lamb who was slain has begun His reign. Alleluia. This is a feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with Him in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is from Ezekiel chapter 36. Therefore, say this to the house of Israel. This is what the Lord God says. I am about to act, O house of Israel, not for your sake, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I will sanctify my great name that has been profaned among the nations, which you profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I show myself holy through you in front of their eyes. I will take you from among the nations, I will gather you from all the lands, and I will bring you to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your filthy idols. Then I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your body and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and lead you, so that you will walk in my statutes and you will be careful to observe my judgments. Then you will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 1 Peter chapter 7. The end of all things is near, so have sound judgment and be self-controlled for the sake of your prayers. Above all, love each other constantly, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. Serve one another, each according to the gift he has received, as good stewards of the many forms of God's grace. If anyone speaks, let him do it as one speaking the messages of God. If anyone serves, let him do it as one serving with the strength God supplies, so that God may be glorified in every way through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised by the fiery trial that is happening among you to test you, as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, rejoice whenever you are sharing in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted in connection with the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th and 16th chapters.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also are going to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you these things so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who murders you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do these things because they have not known the Father or me. But I have told you these things so that when their time comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Our chief hymn, I Walk in Danger All the Way.
All the way. they shield me and befriend me. All Satan's power is held at bay when heavenly hosts attend me. They are my sure defense. All fear and sorrow hence, unharmed by foes, do what they may. I walk with angels all the way. I walk with Jesus all the way. His guidance never fails me. Within his wounds I find a stay when Satan's power assails me. And by his footsteps led, my path I safely tread. No evil leads my soul astray. I walk with Jesus all the way. My walk is heavenward all the way. Await my soul the morrow, when God's good healing shall allay all suffering, sin, and sorrow. Then worldly pomp be gone, to heaven I now press on. For all the world I would not stay. My walk is heavenward all the way.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Have to contend a bit with the wind here a little bit. I think it'll pass, though. The people of Israel were specifically chosen by God to be his own people. They were the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were led out of Egypt by God's powerful hand. They cleansed the polluted land of Canaan, putting its idolatrous inhabitants to death, in order that they may live there, eating milk and honey. Everyone had his own vine and his own fig tree. But what was more important than any earthly treasures, which were never as great as could be found in other lands, was the fact that they knew the Lord God. That's what made the Israelites outstanding. They had the word of God that went all the way back to creation. They were given judges and prophets and kings to make known the will of God so that they would fear, love, and trust in him, calling upon him in every trouble, praying, praising, and giving thanks. There was no other nation on earth like Israel. No other nation named their children with such faithful and pious names. Samuel, Daniel, Michael, Ezekiel. The El at the end of all those names is Hebrew for God. They all say something about God, all those names. The same is true with those names that have a Yah or a Jah in them. That's another way to say God's name. Jonathan, John, Joshua, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hezekiah, Zechariah. All these names are saying something about the Lord. They're saying that he is gracious or that he remembers and so on. And this is what these people named their children. And so there was a tremendous relationship in Israel. God loved his people, and this people loved God. It did not last, though. God surely did not change, but this people did. Their love grew cold for God. Their love for other things grew hot. And so they somewhat left behind the Lord God for other gods. They left behind the Lord God for other things, but they didn't do it entirely. In fact, they continued to name their kids these very pious names, but they came to believe that in order to get ahead in life, you did what other people did. You copied your neighbors around you. They came to believe that instead of following the Lord God, you should do what the Assyrians did and what the Egyptians did and the Canaanites did. That would give you a better life. They had their milk and their honey, but now they wanted gold and a life that was leisurely and convenient. God, again, for his part, continued to be faithful. He sent prophets, and the prophets that he sent were no joke. They denounced and they warned and they threatened so that the people didn't take God's grace for granted. Those who heard and were frightened, he also comforted, saying, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." God was patient, and he sent preachers to these folks for centuries. Some amazing, wonderful men like Elijah and Isaiah. But the people resented having their sins pointed out to them. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. And they weren't going to let some preacher get in the way of their plans. If these prophets stuck to their posts and stuck to their guns, then they'd have to be forcibly removed. That's what the people thought. And so it came to pass that God's people ended up killing God's prophets. What can God do with a people who will no longer listen to the ones he sends to preach his word? God, in his anger, took up blunter instruments, therefore, and punished his people with them. Whenever trouble befalls us, we do well to ignore what the world and our own flesh tend to say about it. The world and our flesh are comforted by the thought that this is just happenstance and fate that brings this tragedy, not the heavy hand of the Lord. But we do well, in contrast, to fear God when we are judged by him, so that we repent and do not plunge headlong into eternal disaster. When God finally smashed his people, smashed the northern and the southern kingdoms of Israel with blood and violence and pandemics and the death of loved ones, I guarantee you, knowing human nature, that most of them said that this was just a stretch of bad luck. And just you wait, the sun will come out tomorrow. Therefore, God did not relent and spare them. With that mentality, he pushed harder, but they wouldn't repent. Finally, they were scattered to the wind, sent away from their homeland, no more milk and no more honey. But what's vastly more important is no more instruction in God's word, no more prophets. They became strangers and aliens to God. They melted into the unbelieving population, just thinking like everybody else thinks that is around them. This is the worst thing that can ever happen to a believer. When hearts are hardened against the word of God being spoken, God will finally take the word away altogether. Then there is no hope of salvation. This introduction that I've given with the history of Israel help set the scene for our Old Testament reading this morning from the prophet Ezekiel. After humbling his people with an incredible amount of violence and heartache, God had mercy on those who would listen to him. He had mercy on them by raising up Ezekiel and sending him to his people to speak to them. Ezekiel is one of the last prophets. He lived during the time when the Jews were in captivity. They had been captured by the Babylonians, and they were living in the capital city of Babylon. He spoke to a people who used to be great, these Israelites, but now they had been brought low. They didn't even have a temple to worship in anymore. The Babylonians had leveled it to the ground and taken all their money away. All the hankering after gold and success was impossible with this basically enslaved people. They didn't have anything left. But they did have God. It is better to have everything taken away from you and to still have God than to be on top of the world without him. The bitter experience that the people of God had just been through taught at least some of them this hard lesson. It is to these humbled and frightened people that God speaks through the prophet Ezekiel. We heard in our reading this morning, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the Lord God says, I'm about to act, O house of Israel, not for your sake, though, but for the sake of my holy name, which you've profaned among the nations to which you came." There are two things I'd like to point out here. First, how good it had to have sounded to these God-forsaken people to hear God say, I'm about to act. That had to have been music to their ears. But then notice, secondly, that God also says, I'm not doing it because you earned it. In fact, the people hadn't learned their lesson. As they were being driven out, they became worse, not better. God said that they had profaned the name of God among the people to whom they had come. It's hard to know what's going to happen. Put the umbrella away, it starts to rain. Let's regain our train of thought here. God speaks through Ezekiel to this people and he says, I'm going to bring you back. But it's not because you guys are so great. I'm bringing it back because of the holiness of my name, which you've profaned. I'm going to reestablish the holiness of my name. You'd think that these people had gotten better through this harsh treatment. They'd learned their lesson, but they didn't. The Bible, and the Bible alone, teaches us what people are really like. The world gets fooled into thinking that we're pretty good people, after all. We're able to learn our lesson. No. Not even the best teacher of what's right and wrong, namely God, can teach us. We still aren't a lick better by our own reason or strength. So God says that he's going to act because his name is holy, not because his people have kept his name holy. And then he says, I will take you from among the nations. I will gather you from all the lands, and I will bring you to your own land. I will sprinkle you with clean water and cleanse you from all your impurities and your filthy idols. God does not flatter these people. He does not tell them that they've been good little boys and girls because he won't do this. He won't lie. It can make him seem harsh, but that's totally wrong. He speaks the truth, and the truth is that God is gracious. He couldn't have said anything kinder to these people who were so miserable. He tells them that he will gather them to himself and he will be their God. He will bless them and he will protect them and he will sprinkle clean water on them so that they don't stink anymore with the filth that they've rolled themselves in while worshiping idols. This speaks to what we are about as the new Israel, the Christian church. When God is gracious, when he raises up Christians to speak, what those Christians have to say is the same as what God says through Ezekiel here. We say to those who are lost in perversions, in excesses, in hatred of themselves, come, be sprinkled with clean water, be baptized, be set free from the devil's bondage that you are otherwise under. This speaking done by Christians is God's way of gathering together the people whom he has chosen. Or another word that you could use is congregation. God congregates his people that he's chosen for salvation into congregations. And there God himself takes care of them, feeding their souls with his word, washing them with holy baptism, feeding them with Holy Communion. In this way, those who formerly did not know God come to know him, that he's gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. But this is not the end of the story. God has more gracious words to speak to us through the prophet Ezekiel today. He says, "Then I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your body and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit within you and lead you so that you will walk in my statutes and be careful to observe my judgments. Then you will live in the land I gave to your forefathers. I will be your God, and you will be my people." Here God speaks about what is known in the church's vocabulary as sanctification. To sanctify means to make holy. And so sanctification is the process of being made holy for Christians. As it seems to be with all the parts of our Christian faith, the devil loves to confuse what's true, and he does this with sanctification too. All too often, sanctification is seen as the part that we now have to play in order to pay God back for saving us from hell. Jesus did his part. He died on the cross, and now we need to do our part of being good boys and girls. Theoretically, this seems like it should work just fine. I think that's why our reason likes it. However, anybody who has any experience at all in trying to live as a Christian, trying to live a holy life, knows that theory is one thing and real life is another. Anybody who tries to live a holy life will soon bitterly learn what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. The good that I want to do, I don't do. The evil that I don't want to do, that's the very thing I end up doing. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Theoretically, it would be nice if we could give God tit for tat. We'd feel a whole lot better about ourselves if we could. But then we'd come to love and trust in ourselves. And that isn't a good place to be. God, therefore, may very well allow us to fall into sin, so that we learn the bitter lesson that we aren't as good and as faithful as we would like to be. Then we are turned away from ourselves as the source of blessing, which will totally disappoint us, and turn toward God as the fount of every blessing, and he will not disappoint us. And so instead of seeing sanctification as payback, as an obligation, as a debt that we have to pay, we should see it as a gift on top of a gift. It's a continuation of what God does when he sprinkles us with that clean water, washing away all the filth. The new heart of flesh, that is to say, the heart that loves, is better than the old heart of stone. The heart that follows after the will of God is joyful. The one who follows after the will of the devil, while might having a passing, fleeting pleasure, is filled with self-loathing. God works on the hearts of his people, sanctifying them by his word and Holy Spirit, and as he does this day in, day out, we are fed and built up. It's just like how sheep are brought into good pasture. They're nourished and they grow and they become strong. And so this is what God does with us. He sanctifies us, conforming us to the image of his Son. This is something that God does in this life already, partly sanctifying us, but he'll complete it with the death of our old sinful flesh and our resurrection with purified, that is, sanctified bodies. God speaks to us today through the prophet Ezekiel. Our times and our circumstances are different than those of his time, but not nearly as much as you might think. The story of our existence has been basically the same from the beginning. The devil is on one side, God is on the other. And the devil wants us to never think of God at all, to be filthy, to hate ourselves. God wants us to believe and trust in him, to be clean, and to live together with him, and he is the one who brings this about. Therefore, hear what God is saying to you today and rejoice in it. God continues to work on you, gathering you to himself in heaven, even though you are a sinner and have been a sinner. He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who has called you is faithful. He'll surely do it. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the whole Church, that in the confidence of faith the baptized may bear witness to the grace of the Lord Jesus regardless of the consequences, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pastors and missionaries, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Christ's name would sound forth throughout the world, creating and sustaining faith in those who hear, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this congregation, that the Spirit of truth would guide us into faithful devotion and service, that we would love one another, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and gladly give our offerings to support his mission here and abroad. Lord, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who suffer for their witness to Christ, that they may be strengthened by the Spirit of truth to endure, and that they may rejoice and be glad when Christ's glory is revealed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For an end to the pandemic, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all graduates, for those who set out to look for new employment, and for those whose plans have been frustrated or disappointed, that their confidence may always be in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, the afflicted, the dying, the mourning, and the lonely, especially those who have requested prayers, including Linda, Alex, Kathy, that Christ himself would be their health in sickness, their joy in sorrow, and their life in death. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who come today to the Lamb's feast, that being made partakers of Christ's divine nature in the eating and drinking of his very body and blood, they would be filled with his life and with his peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful departed, let us offer thanks and praise, asking our Heavenly Father to grant us all a share in the rest and peace of his kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Our closing hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Cleanse me from its guilt and harm. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my seal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. How I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyelids close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of ages, clap for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Good morning to all of you. Had hard to know what the weather was going to be like. I thought it looked kind of stormy there, so that's why I brought the cross in. Figured I'd have enough with my papers just to keep them from flying away. I didn't need that to tip over. We will have the next two Sundays for sure in the parking lot here with the radio services, and then we'll reassess at that point, so through June 7th. Next week, May 31st, is High Festival of the Church, so I encourage you to come for that. Pentecost is one of the three great festivals where we mark the coming of the Holy Spirit on that day. So thank you for coming out today, and wish you a blessed week.